Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Tuesday, June 30th, and y'all know what time it is. It's time for a Tony Tuesday, where Tony Cirino joins back on the show. We talk about a few things, but you know he's tinfoil hat Tony, so we gotta let him go off about the Patriots. We trade shots and talk about that for the first part of the show. And finally, yeah, at the end of the show, we're going to go over why the Steelers have two players that are at very good odds to win major accolades at the end of the season. Let's get into it. All right, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to the show. It's your host, Chris Carter. As always, y'all know what day it is. It's time for a Tony Tuesday. That's right, because Tony Cirino is back on the show on his inglorious defeat in Fantasy Draft Friday.
You know, Chris, not only is it a defeat, but it was a confusing defeat at that, as I was explaining to you before. So I didn't get a chance to look at the Facebook poll this weekend. We're doing a lot of wedding planning stuff. I saw my mother on Saturday, and of course, she is an avid listener of the podcast, has been, still is, you know. She loves, you know, she never watched the Steelers until I started doing Locked On Steelers, and now, you know, she's even more addicted than my dad is. He was a huge Steeler fan when I was growing up. So it's really weird now that my mom knows like all the inner workings of the Steelers, and my dad, like, you know, still has trouble with like the free agency and all that stuff and the draft picks. Anyway, so my mom is talking to me on Saturday, and she's like, "Hey, how come you're not in the Facebook poll this weekend?" And I said, "What do you mean? I'm on there. It's Tony. I told her my picks," and she goes, "Oh, I think they renamed you to Wallace this week." And I said, "What do you mean they renamed me to Wallace, Mom? I don't think they renamed me to Wallace. I don't know. Maybe you're looking at the wrong poll or something. I'm definitely not Wallace, okay?" And then I look at this thing, and you guys added, I don't know who Wallace is. And first of all, his picks are not as good as mine, okay? Mine has draft day on it. But here's the thing. You guys confused my mother. My own mother voted against me because she voted for Wallace, thinking that she was actually voting for me. And by the way, I lost by 3 votes. If you flip her vote around, I would have lost by 1 still, but it would have been closer.
I still would have lost.
You know what? I didn't expect this. I mean, look, I knew obviously my picks weren't going to be insanely popular anytime you take draft day. Not going to be insanely popular. Although, and maybe I fever dreamed this, but one of you in the Facebook universe, I believe, wrote me a post that said, "Hey, Tony, draft day is not as bad as you think." I saw it on Sunday morning. I saw it was very long, so like, I can't read this right now, but I guess I got to come back to this. Even though, Chris, the last thing I expected, well, two things I didn't expect. I didn't expect that someone named Wallace was going to beat me in my own poll. Yeah. And then number two, I didn't expect this weekend was to have someone come at me because draft day is not as bad as I remember. I don't know if that person deleted it. I couldn't find the post, so whoever that was, I'd love to read it because I would love to talk to you about draft day. It is genuinely a football movie that I will go back to. I've watched it twice. I saw it in theaters, and I've seen it again since then. So I love talking about that movie. But, yeah, congratulations on your win. I guess you're in the lead now, depending on, you know. It's been a rocky road downward.
It's been the weirdest trip. Don't blame me for putting Wallace in this. Dean did that.
Dean, you owe an apology, okay? You need to apologize to my mother. Okay, because first of all, I told her that, you know, I'm like, "Mom, I don't know what's going on with you right now, but I'm definitely not Wallace in this poll." So, you know, I need to apologize to my mother. You need to apologize. We all do.
You know what? Just for that, I will get Dean on this show to apologize to you.
Okay. We'll
make that happen because you deserve an apology. That was not nice of him.
Lose to Wallace, by the way. So I don't know do I lose a point now? I believe I read that in the thread that Tony loses to Wallace. He loses a point. Am I really losing a point? Is it 13-11 now?
No, I won't do that to you. I won't. So, I did suggest that because I didn't think that Wallace would beat you. But then I think out of spite, the fans, our listeners were like, "We're gonna dump on Tony." But I gotta say though, you've at least, you're experimenting here. You're like a mad scientist because last week you said no chalk at all, mm-hmm. and it almost worked for you.
Yeah.
And then this week you said, all right, we're going to push that limit even further. Now know where the line is. Just don't do it with draft day.
Well, I knew. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know just from like life experience, right, that my taste in movies don't normally line. Like, you can even ask like my close friends and family, right? My taste in movies and, you know, the rest of the population, we don't match up a lot in movies. So I knew going into this week it was going to be a tough road. But yeah, I didn't expect – I wanted to get like 7 votes this week. I mean, it was not great.
So, Tony, I wanted to get your opinion on the Patriots stuff. You're tinfoil hat, Tony.
Yes.
You have your conspiracy theories.
Okay.
I have
a conspiracy on this. I definitely have a conspiracy on this one.
We have both the Cam Newton situation and the punishment situation. I talked about this a lot yesterday, but I wanted you to get your opinion off for the listeners here.
Sure. I mean, as far as the Cam Newton stuff, no real conspiracy there, because I think it's just, you know, this made a lot of sense, right? I think from the Patriots perspective, they needed a quarterback, and everyone's been wondering, like, oh, are they really going to go with Jared Stidham? And I, to some point, bought into the idea that, like, maybe they are just going to go with Jared Stidham for a year, and maybe they really are going to go 6-10. Because if you remember, this is not a team a year ago that was loaded full of talent, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And so, you know, when you're talking about, you know, loading up this Patriots offense with Jared Stidham at the helm, I don't think that was going to be a team that was going to win a ton of games. I mean, I think defensively, they could still be good. They were clearly overrated last year based on the soft schedule they had early on in the year. And that defense, you know, clearly got worse as the year went on and as they played better and better teams. I thought that this was a team that could very easily go somewhere in the range of like, I thought they could go as low as 6-10. Maybe they go like 8-8 if they're good, or 9-7 and sneak into the playoffs as like a 6 or 7 seed. But I was ready to watch this team be bad for the first time in a long time. I believe since 2000 was the last time they had a losing record. So Cam Newton comes in. Look, this is, you know, I think anyone who expects like the Bills to win the division now, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Cam Newton, Bill Belichick, he'll figure it out. I mean, look, if you believe the analytics guys, and you don't even have to believe the analytics guys. Just look at Tom Brady's stats from a year ago. I mean, he just wasn't a good quarterback. Now, I know he didn't have a lot to work with, but, you know, age was catching up with him, no doubt about it. So Cam Newton's going to come in and bring something else to that offense in the idea that he can get some yards with his legs as well. You know, Belichick will make that work, and it's sad because I know it's only a 1-year deal, and so maybe, you know, this is a one and done thing. I don't think this puts the Patriots in any kind of Super Bowl contenders yet, just because, again, I don't think that offense was full of talent. The defense was a bit overrated last year, so I would still put them behind the Chiefs and Ravens, and, you know, probably behind the Steelers as well. As far as the punishment goes, Chris, I was shocked that this actually that there was actually a real punishment here. I expected, especially because this had gone on for so long, right? I mean, this video was taken in what, November or early December of last year. So we're talking about like 7 months of quote unquote investigation to figure this out, right? And again, you and I have talked about this. This is the same setup that they had last time, which is, you know, which makes you wonder, like, how stupid are the Patriots? They would literally do the exact same thing they did last time and use the same excuses as they did last time. And so I expected that the NFL had waited this long in the investigation, so they could sweep this one under the rug, right? And they just go, oh yeah, here's like a $500,000 fine, and that guy who shot the video, you know, he can't come to games anymore or whatever. That's all I expected it to be. And so the fact that they actually took a draft pick away for this, and I understand, like, to some people, this is not enough. I was talking to my dad earlier tonight. nothing's enough for people who really hate the Patriots. Not that I don't, but I think this punishment to me was, look, I know it's not like what they got last time, which was a first-round draft pick and whatnot, but I think a third-round draft pick is far more than I expected. Now, they haven't come out and said, like, have they been able to connect the guy and the video crew to football operations at all? Because that was the big thing the Patriots kept coming back to, right? Which is, we screwed up here. Yes, our film crew screwed up here, but they have nothing to do with football operations whatsoever. And so the smoking gun for me was always going to be, if you can prove that they had any kind of ties to football operations, then you bring the band hammer down here, right? We're talking about the death penalty stuff, like, you know, like they did in college football. And, you know, you make sure that this stuff absolutely never happens again. It seems to me, and I don't know that if this has been reported yet, but it seems to me that the NFL likely, because it's only a third round pick, couldn't make that connection. But this is one of those things where the NFL went, look, we can't prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that you cheated here, right? You covered your tracks. But given the history of your organization, we're still taking a third round pick away because you're so dumb you did this whole thing again. And so, you know, in some ways, I have to applaud the NFL for that. I wish that they had found that smoking gun. They did come down with the ban hammer here, and they really did come down to this organization. But I was honestly very surprised that this was anything more than a small fine, and you know, and again kicking this, the, you know, and laying all the blame on the guy who shot the tape and not the organization itself.
With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models of types of cars, it's impossible for places to keep all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. So why endure the pointless and seemingly intimidating questions that you'll get when you go into a store like, is your car an LX or an EX? And then you have to wait for the counterman to order parts on his computer, and then choosing the only brand that his warehouse happens to carry. You can skip all that. Go to a computer at your own house or your own phone that's in your pocket and go to rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And then go and write Locked On for in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
So, I gotta say, Tony.
Yeah.
What do you mean you think you're surprised? Okay, let's look at it this way. When Martavis Bryant first smoked weed, there was a light punishment. Then there was a suspension. Right. And there was a longer suspension. Then there was a season suspension. And then there was another season suspension. Why can't we get that with cheating scandals?
Right. Well, I think the difference here is that the NFL can't actually prove that this was cheating and not just a guy.
You had the Patriots employee literally begging, please, man, let me delete that, man.
I agree.
Go away. You'll never see it again.
But there's no concrete, like, if they couldn't tie it to football operations, right? If there's no tie that video was going back to some coaching staff for them to review to get the signals and whatnot, then I think it's hard for them to say without a shadow of a doubt, like, this is just as bad as Spygate. Remember, Spygate 1, right? I mean, they had tapes that Goodell, was it Goodell or Tagliabue? I guess it was Goodell, right? That he destroyed. Right? There were multiple tapes that they got from the Patriots organization that they destroyed so that they would never be seen by the NFL. Tapes, right? Not a tape, tapes. So, you know, back then, right, you know, this was like a huge scandal. And honestly, in that one, there's no doubt about it. The Patriots got off way easy on that one because a first-round draft pick should have been the beginning of what they got and not the whole punishment. This time, I think if they couldn't prove it, then, you know, it would have been easy enough for the NFL to just go, well, you know, we couldn't prove anything here, so here's a fine. Don't do this again, and we're done here, especially because they waited this long.
But Tony, this is – okay, so you're saying there's no way to prove it. This is when you're a repeat offender and you're caught doing the same exact thing, the burden's going to be on you to show that this isn't what you think it is anymore. Because when you show up, it would have been different if they were just filming the game. But the film that the Bengals staff showed was of them filming the sideline and filming the coaches and getting things that have nothing to do with B-roll, have nothing to do with their own team. It's just them spying on the Bengals. That's all that was. And then, again, when you look at it, it's the same playbook that they used for Spygate. They sent their people in the disguise of being a quote-unquote film crew that was going to be developing media for the Patriots, and that was their guys, and they did it for years before the NFL made it public that that's what was going on.
What should the punishment be, right? Should it be another first round pick? I mean, I guess you could have gone as high as a first, but if you're gonna go any more than that, right, if you're gonna say, like, well, this, you know, this invalidates, you know the last whatever it is, you know, 10 years, whatever, however long it's been since Spygate happened, I just don't know that this is – there's not enough And maybe there was, right? I mean, I don't know that there's been reporting that they couldn't connect, right? But that's my assumption based on the punishment, is that they couldn't connect. And so this is as good as they could do, right? Because if you can't connect it, you know, you're given the like, look, we know you cheated. We may not be able to prove it, but everybody knows you cheated. So we're giving you another legitimate punishment here. And I think a third round pick is certainly much more than I expected.
Tony, they didn't learn from anything else. Nothing has changed their mind. Listen, you gave them the first round pick. They were like, okay, we'll trade for two more. Then they got more first round picks that the year that they got punished. And then with Deflategate, they lost Brady for four games, and they were fine. Again, they were four meaningless games they were still fine with. And now if you're getting a third rookie, you think this is going to stop them? No! They're going to keep doing this as long as they want until something actually happens to force them to change their ways. This is – they are repeat offenders, and it's continued slaps on the wrist. And until the NFL actually does something that damages them – you know, it's like, you know what? Yo, Sean Payton, you didn't know about Bounty Gate, but you had to go for a year. Belichick, sit for a year. Be away from the organization. That there needs to be a message sent to them that says that this isn't tolerable. I don't get what people have such a hard way of saying these guys are cheaters. They are well-known cheaters. They are frequent cheaters. And this isn't like, oh, hey, you know, we thought that, you know, if we made the crowd noise a little louder. No! You are intentionally trying to get advantages on teams' playbooks and trying to understand what they're doing before they're doing it in ways that there have been set up protections against it because it can be so damaging to a game plan. It's just
right.
This is so beyond just basic level of oh, we didn't know. They don't get that benefit of the doubt anymore. At least not in my book. You know, I was listening to Dan Levitard talk about this. He's like, what other cheating scandal in sports history and gets brushed over with such a light touch? You know, Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire are not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. They may never be. And Pete Rose is, they don't forgive him for that. And you look at that. You look at how the Astros are being looked at. A-Rod and how he's looked at. Lance Armstrong. All these people have faced significant punishments and shame. And what do we talk about with the Patriots? Bill Belichick, greatest coach of all time. Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of all time. None of this cheating has any impact on their legacy. None of it, except for people like me. Who say, you know what? No, that was wrong. They should be penalized for it. And it continues to be slaps on the wrist. And all that's going to happen is that 2 or 3 years from now, we're probably going to get another story and people are going to be like, it's the Patriots. They do it all the time. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, clearly what happened back in the original Spygate was, I think, the number one worst of it all, right? Because that was, there were allegations of taping practices and whatnot. And I know some of that ended up being rumor and there was never any actual proof of that. But like I said, the fact that there wasn't just like, this wasn't just one game that they taped back in the day, right? This was a pattern of doing it to the point where Eric Mangini said, hey, do not tape us, right? We know you do this and we are turning you in if you do it, right? And then they still did it. And they got, he turned him in and that's what it all turned into. But then they destroyed the tapes. And that to me is like the scar of the NFL is the fact that they decided that they never wanted to let the public know. It's how the NFL is such a poorly run organization, is that they were like, it's better for us to just never let the NFL, never let the public know how bad this cheating scandal was, so that we can all just come up with our own, like, again, anything you come up with about the Spygate thing. Oh yeah, there was a tape of them, taping the Rams walkthrough the day before the Super Bowl, right? There's been that rumor out there, and no one can disprove that. No one can say, oh no, that didn't happen, because no one has seen the tape other than those NFL officials who would never say what was actually on them. Look, I agree with you on that one. I think this one though, and again, it's just harder to prove, because you have to, again, with that, with the original Spygate. It wasn't like innuendo of like, oh, what were they using these tapes for? Everybody knew, right? I mean, you had this absolute smoking gun. In this one, like you said, what the NFL is doing here is clearly using the pattern to say, look, even though you claim that this was just some random guy, and that's all we can prove, that this was some random guy, we don't care. We're not just going to give you. I don't think this was a slap on the wrist. I think a slap on the wrist would have easily been for the NFL. The NFL today had just come out and said, fine, and he's kicked out, right? I don't think there would have been an uproar. I don't think you're going to have anybody in the media going, oh, my God, the Patriots got away with this one. And I know you think that because of the third round pick, but I have to say, I am honestly surprised.
What is the third round pick going to do? Because you're going to get it back for Cam Newton. That's the whole reason they got him.
Then the same day they get Cam Newton, like, oh, you're going to take away a third round pick? We're getting a third round pick back. That's a good point. It's a good point. But again, they are taking it away, right? Because they, you know, it's not like them taking the third round pick away means that, you know, they're not going to have, that's gone forever, or it is gone forever, because they, even if they get the pick back, they would have had two if they got the Cam Newton one. So, you know, even if they get the compensatory pick for Cam Newton, right, they would have had two without this fine. So they're down a third round pick regardless.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Locked On Steelers podcast, not only does Tony Cerino think that Matt Ryan is better than Ben Roethlisberger, but he also
in 2018 specifically. What do I think about the Patriots?
He defends the Patriots. He is a Patriots defender.
I'm not defending them. No. I'm just telling you that I was honestly, when I saw this, I could not believe that they actually took a draft pick away. I had been so convinced because it had been so long that they were going to do nothing, that this was going to be an absolute nothing thing.
I hear you on that, Tony. I hear you on I was surprised as well that anything happened to him. But then I'm still looking at like just because you did the bare minimum here doesn't get you a cookie. This is like if I was to grade the NFL like a school child that was in the third grade, they were failing because they weren't even showing up to the class for what has been going on with the mm-hmm. Patriots. Yeah. You don't then get all of a sudden get an A+ because you showed up.
No, this isn't an A. Oh, no, this is like, you know, this is the C get degrees of punishment. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, this is like, okay.
This is a D. Like, if a C would have been a one-time punishment here and out, an A would be not just a punishment, but a reprimand that reaches, I'm not saying take away Super Bowl trophies, but I'm saying sets a standard that says this is close to a death penalty and a serious warning.
I will agree with you on that. I will agree with you on that because they set the precedent on this, right? With the Sean Payton thing, they said it was what, like a lack of institutional control or whatever they said with the Sean Payton thing? Yeah. But the problem with that is that we all know the reason why Sean Payton got suspended for a year. And it wasn't because the NFL was like, oh my God, so egregious, Spygate. It was because that was at the time when the concussion stuff was just becoming, getting into the public sphere, right? And it was all a PR ploy. I mean, you know, Sean Payton paid for the sins of, you know, the NFL and the, you know, in the whole like, thing around big hits and whatnot. And so once Bounty Game came out, the NFL's like, look, we have to take a hard stand here because we have to make sure the public understands that we're trying to change the game and make it more safe and whatnot. And so he just was in the crossfire of that. I think if there was a bounty, you know, if he had got caught for Bounty Gate 3, 4, 5 years earlier, there's no chance he gets suspended for the entire year. I mean, I don't even know that Sean Payton gets suspended 5 years before the time he did.
I hear what you're saying there and the timing of that. But my point is that they still did it. And if you were serious about actually stopping the Patriots from cheating, you do something about it.
You suspend Belichick for lack of institutional control. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I'm 100% on board for that.
All right. I just don't think that's
if you and I were co-commissioners, absolutely. But Goodell, there's no chance moron's going to actually do something like that.
did you stutter because you realized you called him a moron?
I'm not wrong.
You're not wrong. It looked like you sounded like you caught yourself.
I was like, hey, should I call him a moron on this podcast? Yeah, I should. Well, remember when Bill Simmons got suspended because he said Goodell didn't have the balls to do something, and then ESPN had to. Well, and then he also said he got suspended not just for that, but he also then told his bosses, "You don't have the balls to suspend me. You also don't have the balls to suspend me for what I just said about Goodell."
Well, yes, they did.
So, yeah.
Well, Tony, we got to cut to a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the odds that have been laid by Vegas out here on which Steelers are going to make to win awards for the 2020 season right after this. Welcome back to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, joined by Tony Cerino. Now, Tony, we always like to do ranking lists and things like that, but there was odds that are that were released by Oddshark on different awards across the board for the NFL, and two of the awards, you know, that have been released, include Steelers among the top of the players that have the best odds to mm-hmm. win different awards. And those two awards are the NFL Comeback Player of the Year and the Defensive Player of the Year. Now, for Comeback Player of the Year, the best odds of all of them is Ben Roethlisberger. He's going plus 250. The next is Rob Gronkowski with plus 325, meaning, I believe, and help me, tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. It's basically $200. Yeah.
Huh?
It's like 2.5 to 1. Yeah. If you bet $100, yeah, you get 250 back. Sorry.
Exactly. So, yay, I know gambling. I've learned something all these years.
Uncut Gems, man. Uncut Gems.
Yeah, which is another reason why you lost. That movie was not that good.
It was good. It was good.
I mean, it was good. Like, I liked it, but I was also kind
of
like,
it's actually the best movie of last year. So,
anyways. And then, again, Defensive Player of the Year. Now, the number one there was Aaron Donald, which seems a fair bet, but it was for 650. It was a plus 650. Next is Nick Bosa at plus 800, but tied for third at plus 1,000, so 10-1 odds, T.J. Watt and Khalil Mack.
Yeah. Okay, so that one is interesting to me because I know you've been talking about – I think we talked about this during our award stuff, right, that you and I both expect a big jump this year from Minka.
Yeah.
And so I wonder – you know, I still expect a big jump from Minka, and I wonder if those two end up splitting votes at the end of the day, right? I mean, you have to imagine mm-hmm. that in some parts they did this year, and I think Watt finished – did he finish second this year or third?
I think he finished second.
Yeah, second to Gilmore in Defensive Player of the Year. So, look, not surprising to see him at 10-1. 10-1 is not terrible odds. I just worry about that Minka might split some votes with him. Watt's clearly going to get his. I mean, the guy is a phenom at the position. Aaron and the list that they put together. I mean, of course, you know, Vegas knows their stuff, right? So Aaron Donald plus 650 makes a ton of sense. Nick Bosa plus 800 makes a ton of sense. I think Watt and, you know, Watt at 10-1. Mac didn't have a great year last year. I mean, statistically, right? He didn't. So, and then they have J.J. Watt on here at 12-1. Now, J.J. Watt can't stay healthy. That's why he's on the Comeback Player of the Year list.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting one to me. I don't know that I'd put any money on J.J. Watt, or certainly not at 12-1. There's actually a value on here of Chandler Jones at 20-1. Chandler Jones is a tremendous player. The problem is he always plays on bad teams, so he never gets noticed. You have to wonder if the Cardinals ever did turn the corner. He would get consideration there. So at 20-1, I kind of like that. But Watt at 10-1, my only concern there is if he splits votes with Minka. Otherwise, I think 10-1 are good odds for him.
Yeah, I think those are really good odds to bet on. You know, like you said, Chandler Jones being 20-1, Von Miller 20-1. You know, I like those odds, but I'm right with you on Minka Fitzpatrick taking away votes. I wouldn't really put it past Steeler Nation to figure that out, though. I think that they would be able to put together a campaign that's like, hey, we're voting for this guy, for this award, vote for everyone in the Pro Bowl, but as far as like the people who put in the votes to win different awards, there's going to be talk amongst them to push them in one direction for either Watt or Fitzpatrick. But I think Watt has continued this ascension consistently throughout his career, and that continued ascension this year could land him in even more ridiculous sack numbers on a defense that, if the offense is good and they're putting up points, they're going to get a lot more chances to create turnovers, and I think that just yields it. But back to Ben Roethlisberger being the number one potential Comeback Player of the Year, I think that he stands a very good chance of winning this award. Ben Roethlisberger, I don't think he's ever won a national award for anything other than winning the Super Bowl, right?
Did he win Rookie of the Year? He had to win Rookie of the Year.
That might be it. He might have won Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. Although, I mean, you know, remember during that time, there was the whole, you know, if he throws more than 20 times a game, they lose type thing. So maybe he didn't. I'm trying. Oh, yeah, he did win Rookie of the Year. But you're right.
He does have one.
Yeah, that's it. That's all he did. It's all he got his whole career. I am honestly, though, I look at this list. So Gronk is right behind him.
Yeah.
Gronk makes a lot of sense. Gronk makes a lot of sense in that Tampa Bay offense. J.J. Watt, yep. Okay. I mean, again, you're hoping that J.J. Watt stays healthy. Same thing with Stafford, A.J. Green. So the one that's crazy to me is Cam Newton is 18-1. Now, I guess I don't know what they are. Maybe this is written before.
This was pre him signing with the Patriots.
Okay.
I do think that Cam Newton is going to, if he doesn't overtake Ben Roethlisberger, he'll be right behind him.
He's got to because he's younger. I mean, at this point, you know, don't hate me, Steeler Nation. I talk enough crap about Ben, but like at this point, Cam probably has, you know, for his age and where he is in his career, more talent than Ben right now as a quarterback, right? I'm not saying as a career. I'm not saying anything other than like in 2020, Cam Newton is more talent as a quarterback than Ben, okay? Don't make that out to be anything more than it is, please, because I don't need another one.
You heard what he said, y'all. Yeah. Attacking your quarterback again. I guarantee you. If you see me, just know that it ain't me. It was Tony that said that. You know, come on, man. How do you keep walking into this stuff? You defend the Patriots.
You understand? I spent like 4 minutes there trying to like qualify in every way possible. So I was like, all right, this time when I say it, I will qualify it enough that no one can misunderstand what I'm saying.
You think
37-year-old Ben Roethlisberger versus 31-year-old Cam or whatever. Cam Newton, is he 31? Is he 30, something like that?
I think he's 31, yeah.
Yeah, 31, yeah. 31-year-old Cam Newton, more talent than 37-year-old Ben Roethlisberger. They're both 31, different story. Anyway, the other one on here, Chris, we need to talk about because it's funny. I love that Jeff put it in the article. Antonio Brown, 22-1 odds. 22.
Oh, oh, oh.
22-1 odds, which, okay, if you're going to bet 22-1 odds, right? I mean, to me right now, he's not even on a team. So, you know, the line for me starts at like 50-1, right? Because first of all, I got to believe, okay, here's what you got to believe in order to bet Antonio Brown, right? You got to believe that one, someone's going to sign him. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then two, that he's going to play out the entire season as like a normal functioning NFL player. And, you know, like, I mean, obviously, he's going to light it up. If he goes to a good offense, he'll light it up. But, like, I got to believe that he's going to get signed and stay, you know, the course for a full 16-game season before you can believe that he's going to be comeback player of the year. And then, of course, he has to beat out guys like Cam Newton and Ben and Gronk and the guys ahead of him. So, for me, I mean, the line for that, 22-1 is not – that's not good enough. I got to start at, like, 50-1 before I can believe that.
Yeah, because like you said, it's a process to get back into the NFL. Then even if he does get back and he ends up playing great somewhere, we can notice him. You still have to bet again. You still have to bet against all the time he's going to have to mess it up again, because we've seen him not be able to stay on any rosters. So
right,
I'm right with you. I think that Antonio Brown's odds could be a little have a lot better of a payoff considering all the things we have to consider. But I like where they have Ben Roethlisberger. I like where they have T.J. Watt.
Can I throw another name out there?
Sure, why not?
It's not on this list. And I'm looking on Odd Shark right now and seeing if he's on the list at all on this. And I don't think I see him at all. So if he is, you'll have to correct me. Juju. Any chance Juju comes with it even close to comeback player of the year?
No, because if Juju has a comeback player of the year, that means Ben did, and Ben will get it before Juju.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's a quarterback league.
Unless Ben gets hurt and either Mason or Devlin go off.
I like that you still consider Devlin a guy. You didn't say Paxton Lynch. I appreciate that.
I appreciate that.
You're coming around a little bit. You brought up Mighty Ducks on the podcast last week.
I give you an inch, and you take a mile. I hate you, Tony.
God. I don't know if you're going to be going to camp this year, but I am looking forward to your daily reports on Duck as we did last year.
Trust me. I will be completely and totally unbiased as I tell you how bad it is. Trust me.
Totally unbiased.
Anyways. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Tony.
Always a great time.
Get out of here. But thanks as always, Tony, for making a Tony Tuesday fun as always.
Yeah.
Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Tony, let people know where they can find more use.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country, and you can find me on YouTube. The show is AFC North Talk. It is a roundtable show all about the AFC North. I represent the Steelers. I don't bash Ben, I promise. There's enough bashing of Ben, of my co-host, that I will not partake. But we are coming back. I know we've been gone. I think we've taken like more than a month break now because so has football or any news in football. So we're coming back next week, though. We are going to be back next Monday. So check us out there on YouTube. Search AFC North Talk.
Look, if you want to see Tony debate with a bunch of guys that talk a lot of ridiculous stuff, and then he just comes in with his Tonyisms, it's worth a watch. I've watched a few, and he dropped in the comments section and been like, "Hey, y'all are stupid." But yeah, so that's where you can find Tony. You can find me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. If you follow me, I follow you back. Join the Facebook group for Locked On Steelers by searching Locked On Steelers on Facebook. Ask to join the group, and I'll add you as soon as possible. There's over 650 other loyal listeners that are on there every day, and we're voting on our Fantasy Draft Friday polls. We're interacting with other Steelers fans, sharing funny things. It's a good time to be had by all. Great place and a safe place for Steelers fans to come, say what they're feeling, and hear what other people are talking about there as well. You'll also interact with myself and several other guests that are always on the show. If you're enjoying the show, please hit the subscribe button. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere that podcasts are hosted. Please also leave a 5-star review on Apple for the show, as well as a positive comment. Doing so will get your comment read here on the show. From Chris Carter and Tony Serino, have a great Tuesday, y'all. See you tomorrow.